Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host with the most. Eddie Pence is out doing a show, so we are going to just jump right into this interview with lovely singer-songwriter Diane Kane. How are you?
Couldn't be better.
You came here last minute. We love it. Our studio audience already loves you. Easy as pie. How was your long weekend?
I'm telling you, I'm still walking on air. I'm on cloud nine. We recorded last Tuesday with some awesome...
That's awesome.
Awesome people from the improv trio. And I'm still floating.
It's funny. As a musician, there are ebbs and flows. And when you're in the studio working with great people, it's like, is life any better than this?
Oh, my God. I just told them, you know, I relayed to them what I wanted with the song. And I talked to them a little bit about what the song meant to me, and they were totally into it. They've been listening to it on the ride over, and in 4 hours, they just knocked it out of the park.
Wow.
It was
crazy.
Amazing. And they got to do their improv trio stuff at the end of the song. That's the extended version.
Wow.
The bonus track. Have you ever heard them?
No.
Oh, my God. It's Donald Barrett on drums.
Oh, yeah. He's a monster.
He's a monster. He's playing with Lady Gaga right now. In Las Vegas. We got Dmitry Gorodetsky on bass. He's touring with Charlie Puth right now. And we have the amazing Xavier Taplin on keys. He plays that nice Nord. He makes all those noises.
Yeah, all the pretty sounds.
And, I mean, I worked on this song for a couple of months with another crack crew, and we just... couldn't nail it. And so I said, well, I guess I'm going to leave this off the CD, second CD. And then these guys, I said, these are the guys that can do it. And when they're in town, they perform at Hotel Cafe.
Oh, okay.
They perform.
Jazz or just whatever?
You know what? They're called the Improv Trio for a reason. They get up on that stage. Donald works with the beats live, and they just join. They just make this amazing magic for an hour and a half. And you're transported. And I said, and it's funk, it's soul, it's pop,
wow.
it's jazz, it's just amazing. And I said, these are the guys that can get this song down. So I put it out there, and they said, we're there. Tuesday night, 6 to 10, you know, that's when everybody was going to be in town before they went back out on the road. We got in Ben Berger's 206 studio up around here, actually, up near Van Nuys. And I said, this is what I like. This is what we need to do. And I just got out of the way.
And they just played.
And they just did it.
How many takes?
Three or four.
Wow.
Three maybe.
So it was like a totally live vibe.
Live.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like you live and you live for this. It's a dream.
And you know, the funny thing is, like, I find it's like, you know, you spend so much time on music and in your life and living and doing music. And when the things collide and you realize that it becomes effortless, and that's when you feel light. That's when you feel like you're on cloud nine, like you're ascending. And you experience it. That's amazing.
It came together.
Yeah.
All the
serendipitous, synchronistic.
All the like it wasn't working, this wasn't happening, this wasn't, and then suddenly it came together. And when it came together, it was just like perfection.
Wow. You know? That's wild. What did you tell him? What were the kind of the directions you gave?
Well, first of all, I just have to say, Dmitry Gorodetsky, he is the only bass player I've ever worked with that actually talked about the lyrics in the song, in the song, and the story of the song, and I was blown away by that. I just relayed to them what I felt the song was about. I wanted to sing it simply on the top. It's a prayer. It's a song written by Kurt Elling called Esperanto. And he did his own version of it, and then this trumpet player, Sean Jones, re-recorded his version of it, which it really was like a meditation, like a prayer.
Wow.
And the melody is very simple. You know, no trills, nothing. It's very simple because it really is a meditation about the secrets of life that you will never understand in a million years. But the music underneath is combusting, you know, like, so you have all of this. I felt like it's like what you see when you look at nature. There's just things that are so amazing you can't explain it.
Yeah.
But underneath that is the earth.
Yes.
And it's moving and it's changing and there's volcanoes and stars and shooting and that's
the
what
cosmos.
The music needed to be.
Right.
And they got that. They told me that that's what the song was about to them.
Wow.
And I was like, well, that's what the song was about to me too.
So they knew the song.
They had learned it because I sent it. You know, I sent it to them. But I only had like 4 days to put it together. They said yes, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go rob a bank. I'll be right back. and I sent them, you know, sent them all the information but I sent them the songs to listen to, and they were playing it when I walked in the studio, which is always a good sign. You know, they were already on it. So it was just heavenly. It was, and to work with that caliber of talent.
That's what every artist, I think, deserves.
I mean, oh my God.
But the funny thing is you have to go through a road yourself to get to that point.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just the path. It's just the way it works.
You have to keep going.
Yes.
Even when you start to feel depressed or you start to feel like things aren't going your way.
Yes.
You have to just keep pushing because you know that you can get it.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to come together.
Yeah.
And this is the icing on the cake. Now we have 10 songs and we can start mixing.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
I can go see my mom now. I'm like, Mom, we got the
songs.
Well,
the funny thing is, it's like you were going to put it off the record because things weren't gelling. But it's not gelling for a reason.
Yeah.
So now you know. It's like now when you see how well it works.
Yeah.
And it's like this could be something where you work with them again and again and again because you know they can hit it out of the park.
Hopefully. Well, they said I made history. And he said, you made history. And I said, how? And he said, you're the first indie artist that contracted us as the Improv Trio all together. I mean, you got to hear them.
I got to hear them. You sold me already.
I mean, they do something that is just, you'll never hear the same thing twice. And they have been recorded at the Hotel Cafe. Mm. So they have volume one now out and volume two is coming out, volume three. And you'll never hear what you hear on that CD.
That's crazy.
Live when you go see them because they do something. It's just they feel it's
well, it's, they're like real artists.
Combination.
That's like the real thing. Like you're just evolving. You're just playing and evolving and just making choices. And
listening to each other and it's really something else. It really takes you on a journey.
Can you sing us a little bit of the prayer?
Oh. There's a secret that never dies, like a dance of hidden meanings that we never apprehend. There are questions just as old as time, and the answers that come never quite make amends. How does smoke learn how to fly? How does smoke learn how to fly? Where do birds go off to die? How does coal sleep in darkness? Do dreams live in apartness? Is a number forever? Where's the soul of the water? How old is old November? No one here can remember. If I die, where does time go? Do dreams live in vertigo? Is a number forever? Or is love just an emotion?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Well, that and then then they have an interlude, and then they build the music. The music starts to combust, and then by the time I come back in over that, I'm still kind of on the same, you know, kind
you know,
of
I gotta tell you, I'm gonna give you a huge compliment. Like I kind of give you a little, threw you a little curveball right now. That's the hardest thing to do is just to sing a cappella and just get into a groove and make something musical. That's the difference between a good singer and a great singer.
Aww.
And I threw you a curveball because I knew you could handle it, but also you hit it out of the park. That was awesome.
Thank you so much. It's a beautiful song. I really, really feel, you know, there's so much in this world going on right now that we can't control.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's you have to let go. Otherwise, it'll drive you crazy.
Yeah.
So much is going on, right? I mean, have you ever seen it like this before?
Yes. It's nuts. Never.
And this song kind of hit it for me. It's about letting go. It's about the mysteries that you'll never understand, but they're so beautiful. But I screwed up some of the lyrics, but you'll hear it.
Beautiful.
You'll hear it.
No. We didn't know. We didn't know. You don't have to tell us that. You know, just let us find out. No, it sounded great. So tell us, we're going to go way back now. How did you get into music? What was the moment of Zen where you decided, I want to sing, I want to be a performer, I love music?
Well, I came up in a tough part of town, and there was a lot of...
What town?
Well, I was born in Queens, but I was brought up in Rhode Island, and in Providence, Rhode Island, it was very mafioso. Catholic, you know, mafioso. Yeah. And there was a lot of drugs and booze and guns and violence and misogyny and all kinds of crap going on. And I felt like, as an artist, how the heck am I going to, you know, get up and get out of here? And I used to listen to music all the time. My grandmother used to play music in the house all the time. She had one Ray Charles record. And I used to come down and like pop that thing on every Sunday morning and put the gospel TV church choir on, because in Catholic church, it's kind of boring. But gospel choirs, I was like, wow, you know? And I listened to Ray Charles and I listened to a lot of different music on the radio in those days. You know, they played everything on one station. They had rock, funk, soul, pop.
What station is this?
Everything they played up.
All the good stuff.
It's like all the good stuff. Janis Joplin, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
You know, I've never heard a radio station do that.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Now it's all separate.
Yeah.
That's how. So you listen to everything. You know, you listen to Barbra Streisand and you listen to, you know, Nat King Cole. Led Zeppelin, The Doors, Rick James, Aretha Franklin, Sarah Vaughan. You hear it all, you know, all on one station. And so I said, well, this is my foundation. This is where I'm incubating. And so I took off. I got up out of there, and I went to New York. And I ended up working at the Blue Note for about 3 years. And I was doing house music in New York City, and I had a 11-piece funk pop band called Citizen Kane.
That's awesome. We had
like dancers, backup singers, and seven people in the band. And it was all original material. And it was all stuff that people would give me tracks, and I'd go in the studio and lay stuff down, and then we made it live. And working at the Blue Note, it took me into, it made me appreciate jazz. I mean, these guys, I mean, these Stanley Turrentine and Sarah Vaughan and Carmen McRae and Freddie Hubbard, all these people were coming through. I was like talking to these people and hanging out with these people.
That's crazy.
Quincy Jones. I mean, it was amazing. So you're up that you're working every night, you're serving drinks, and they're up there on that
magic
stage. You could touch them. And they really taught me how to respect performance, delivering the lyric, and staying authentic and true while they're singing somebody else's songs. And
what
so,
years were you at the Blue Note?
Oh, don't put me on the spot now.
The only reason I asked
in
is,
the '80s.
So I was there maybe 98.
Oh, okay.
I saw Ron Carter, Kenny Burrell play there. So I was just wondering to see if you were there when I was there.
I wasn't there then.
Okay.
I was doing house music at that time, but I never, you know, I was so, I was with somebody at the time too, and he would make me listen to jazz records, you know. He really, so now, when I came out here, so I had that influence, but I still felt very connected to, I wanted to take jazz into another direction. I didn't want to do just straight ahead standards, because a lot of people are doing that and they're doing it very well. I needed to incorporate, you know, the stuff that I was incubating in when I was growing up. So that's what I'm attempting to do, and I'm getting closer to my sound, getting closer. The first CD we did, I did with Robert Turner, Ryan Cross on bass, and Lyndon Richelle.
I love Ryan Cross.
Ryan Cross.
And I love Lyndon.
Freaking,
those are my boys.
I mean, geez, they are just.
Lyndon's played with my band for years. Oh, Ryan and I went to music school.
Oh, really? You know, the best.
They're the best.
And so I did a rendition of Eleanor, we did Eleanor Rigby. We did like a funky, funky rendition of Eleanor Rigby. We did, you know, How Insensitive, but we changed it. We did the Radiohead's Pyramid Song. We did it, it kept the basic foundation of it, but made it jazz too. And I gave them a lot of room to stretch out.
Right.
And so I like taking songs that you wouldn't ordinarily think of as jazz
them.
And change them.
Let's play something. Let's play Eleanor Rigby. How about that?
Oh, cool.
How do you like them apples?
You got it already?
Here's Eleanor Rigby, Diane Kane.
Nikki.
Picks up a rose in the church where the wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing a face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father McKenzie, writing the words of a certain man. Comes near looking and working and donning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? I look at all the lonely.
Funky. It was so good. Man.
It was live.
What a band. Hold on a second.
It was all live.
Sorry about that.
And, you know, it was one day. Again, another day of that. Another day of magic. It was one day. We spent 7 hours. And none of it was rehearsed. We rehearsed in the studio on the spot.
Well, there's something about you capturing the live magic like that.
That's what I probably could have gone back in and redid vocals, but my pianist kept saying, don't do it. You're going to lose the, don't do it. And I'm like, no, I got to tweak that, and I got to tweak that, and I got to make that stronger. No, no, just leave it, Diane. So I was like, okay. So we trusted our engineer, Greg Edenfield. He took it and kind of tweaked it a little bit. And when we do it live, I change it up a little bit.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
You know, you do something that's funny because, like, I always, whenever I write a song, it's like you're capturing lightning in a bottle.
Right.
It's like you're trying to capture that moment. So I always record it just to get it down.
Yeah.
But it's like I road test it, or I just like get it to that place where I take it on this long journey to make sure it has those moments in it. And then when I get back into the studio, it's almost like you got to recreate that lightning in a bottle all over again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the arrangement has to breathe.
Right.
I love your approach, just going, let's get it right here, right now, because you're destined to capture that lightning in a bottle with less work. You know what I mean? It's like less time, less work, and you're not overthinking. You don't have time for those options.
Right.
You're just like, boom, let's make it happen. I love that.
Do you bounce your songs off other people before you
record and release? All the time. And you know what I really do is not necessarily like some specific people will get songs. I'll say, tell me what you think of this. But the real test is when I play it in front of an audience.
Mm-hmm.
When I play it for an audience, I know what the reaction is.
Mm-hmm.
If people react to it, I remember it the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time. And I'll also put it in different places in the set.
Uh-huh.
Because if you play a song second, it's not giving it the same justice as putting it fifth.
Right.
It's not the same justice as putting it last. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? So I'll shuffle the deck and see if it's consistent in getting that response. And then maybe the tweaks will be in the arrangement, you know, mm-hmm. like how we rehearse. Because I'll listen to the recording of a performance and I'll come back to a rehearsal and say, okay, we need to change this. I want to make this do this.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have an arrangement, I'm like, okay, this is the arrangement with solos that'll be the live energy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I know I got it. That's my secret recipe.
Yeah, that's your gravy. And do you what genre of music?
It's like world music, funk, rock, blues. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of everything. We're not interviewing me. We're interviewing you. All right. So you made this record. What year did you make this record in?
About 4 years ago, and got picked up by Interplay Records. A guy by the name of Toshi Tainaka. He has. Basically, he takes it, he masters it, packages it, and distributes it for me.
That's amazing.
I have to just turn in the product.
That's amazing.
So this one, we raised $5,000 in 8 days on Kickstarter.
Oh, my God.
I sold my Twitter handle to you might know him. His name is Dyro. He's a DJ. They contacted me. They said, you have my name, and we'll pay you for it. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
And so it wasn't a lot of money, but
it was enough
to get things rolling and have a calling card.
Yeah.
Very proud of this. And then we got picked up by Barnes & Noble. I mean, I'm sorry, not Barnes & Noble, Whole Foods.
Hmm.
So they distributed it all over the United States. So that was about a year. And then it was in Asia and Japan and certain, there's still some Tower Records stores in America.
In Japan, too. Yeah.
And here there's some card buildings.
Really?
They were carrying. They were carrying it here. So you know. So we did what we could with it. We got a lot of nice reviews, and we did what we could with it. I know if I had more budget, I would definitely put it into publicity. You know.
Well, you know what? It's like the funny thing is, it's like a lot of musicians put money into publicity, and I've done it, and it's like that's not how people discover music.
Yeah.
So it's like you're putting money into hoping it's going to garner some kind of excitement, but it doesn't always do that. You know,
yeah.
It's like, and you know, people say, oh, well, you didn't have the right publicist. It's like, nah, that's bullshit. I've done it with a couple different publicists. The real truth is, are you advertising the music? Are you getting it on a TV show? Are you playing for people?
Right.
Are you promoting it on the social interwebs? Mm-hmm. Just because people need to find you and know that that's what you represent yourself with. That's your calling card.
Right.
And then when people start to find you, they discover what you do. And then that starts catching on.
They start going back and listening to other things.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way it works. It's so weird. Because it's kind of like a wild, wild west free-for-all. There are artists on major labels. They don't know how to market in this game because it's always been a formulaic, once we get it to release, then we do this.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore.
Do you do singles only or do you do?
I do full records and then I do singles in between while we do one single first and then push the record, second single, third. But by the second or third single, I'm like, it's already doing what it needs to be doing.
Uh-huh.
But the crazy thing is what you're doing is what it's all about.
Right.
Making a record, putting it on tape.
Right,
for people to listen to.
I love it.
That's the best part of the process.
I love recording. I think I love it more than performing.
I love, it's different. they're like two mistresses of the same being. You know what I mean?
Like
they're two completely different things. And if I was sitting in a studio all day long, I was sitting in a studio right before I came here.
Really?
Just tracking guitars, tracking bass. But if I did that 9 days out of a week.
Yeah.
I'd kind of go crazy.
Yeah.
If I was performing 9 days out of the week, I'd kind of go crazy. So it's like I like this balance. I think the balance is what musicians kind of don't always – we don't understand that you have to do the balance.
Right.
have to be in the studio and nurture that talent. And then you have to be out there playing for people because there's an interaction that you have with an invisible amount of faces that you don't even –
That's true.
You know what I mean? There's a connection.
Yeah.
That's why we do it at the end of the day.
Exactly.
We do it so people can hear it. We do it so people can experience it.
Right.
You know?
Do you put videos out with your singles?
All the time.
Yeah.
I try.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so expensive. It's hard to do it all the time.
Well, I have Video Leap on my phone. It's a little
I
app.
I like that.
A little app. You can make
your
own videos.
So you're making your own videos?
I'm trying.
You're hustling. I love that.
I like doing singles.
Yeah.
Because you can really focus on that one single for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
You can get it to climb charts.
Yep.
You can get it on SoundScan.
Yep.
You can make a video for it. You can concentrate on that, and then you can do another one.
Yeah.
And the last single that I did, I sent it to my friends in New York. They're like, send it to us. We'll do a house version of it. I'm like, so I sent it. So they're working on
that. Well, this is why I started this radio show, because it's like I know how hard it is to have a platform so that people get to know your stuff, and this is what I love doing. I'm like, you know what? I've done enough to know I can ask the right questions, because I've sat in that chair like you are.
Mm-hmm.
And been asked some very dumb questions by people that didn't do their homework, didn't do their research, don't know music. And I'm like, this is kind of a waste of time, no matter if, you know, what it's for. So, like, for me, I make sure that I do my homework, that I know what you're talking about. I know the players. I know what you're doing and your approach, and I'm amazed by it.
I try to surround myself with people who are better than me or, people who can lift me. You know, I have no problem trying to find the best people and getting them in the studio.
That's the way it should be.
I mean, so because it lifts you, it makes you work better. I love recording. I love getting in that zone. If you're on stage with the right people, that's always fun too.
Tell me about that transition. Like, you were waiting tables at the Blue Note, watching the Masters.
It was amazing. Nancy Wilson.
And then there's this transition where you're like, I want to do this. Tell me what that process was.
Well, I always knew I wanted to do it. And I was always performing in New York. I was doing theater and I was doing film and TV. Still out here doing the same thing. And music was kind of like
an afterthought.
It was. But I had these songs in my head and I needed to perform them. And so my partner, Robert Alexander, we worked at this club. Well, he ran this nightclub called the Shelter Nightclub. It was industry owned and run. I mean, so from there, I took my original tunes and found the right people there to help me to bring those tunes to life and perform my own original material. That there's nothing like it. I like performing other people's songs.
Mm-hmm.
If I find, like, Esperanto, it just I had to do it.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful.
And it's your own interpretation.
Right. But I love doing my own original
It's the
material.
Best. It's the best.
It's like you're singing these songs and people, it's like you're naked.
Right.
You know, people, like, you know.
It's total vulnerability.
Totally.
Total power.
Yeah.
But the best part, I think about it, is it's never been done before.
Right.
So you're writing history.
Right.
In the moment. That's why I love writing.
I have two original tunes on my new CD, and I can't wait. They're more of jazz. They're more of a jazz feel to them, but they're originals, and they're about things that happened and people that, you know, were important to me in my life. And I think I can't wait to hear somebody take my songs and do them and have them become standards for
the industry. No, that's, I mean, you know, that's, I had a band one time. It was in Washington. They saw us play. And then about 6 months later, they sent me an email and they said, hey, we covered one of your songs. And I was just like, they don't understand. They're like, I hope that's okay. And I'm like, okay, you just made my whole life. You know what I mean? And there's nothing cooler than hearing somebody else interpret your own music.
And knowing that people are buying, like I get every now and then from Reverb Nation or iTunes, you'll get that little, you know, you made some money this last quarter. And somebody's buying my music out there. Somebody's listening. It's
let's get to another track. Oh. You want to play, I've got the Pyramid Song or I Can't Make You Love Me? Which one do you
want to
play?
I'd be curious to see what you think about I Can't Make You Love Me. It's an iconic tune. That's another song I felt I needed to do, but did it like this.
All right. Here it is. I Can't Make You Love Me, Diane Kane.
Robert Turner, he did all of the programming on the song.
Awesome. Here it is.
Turn down the light.
Ooh, that was hot. That was fire.
Lewis. Oh, thank you.
Man.
I love you all.
Yes. You know what? You gotta have Diana Krall as one of your influences.
Yes. I love it.
Because you sound like Eric. On that track, it was like Erykah Badu meets Diana Krall.
Oh, you are my best friend.
I'm serious. Serious. I was like so jammed.
Totally influenced by both of them. That was Louis Van Taylor, too, on flute, and Victor Orlando.
So you said there was programming, but what were the real instruments on there? I know there was a guitar.
Yep, there was a guitar. Actually, the engineer, when we sent it up to Greg at Enfield, he added a little guitar, which was very nice of him to do that. And flute, that was Louis Van Taylor. He tours with Kool and the Gang right now, but awesome. I'm doing some funk with him around town. And Victor Orlando, who was with the Gap Band for a while, and he's always working my percussion. So we put that together. I wasn't planning to do that song programmed. I was planning to do it with, a grand piano, bass, and drums. But Robert came in the studio. He was on fire. He just sat down and started programming it. And I trust him, so I just went with it.
It's awesome.
Thank you.
What I love about it, it's like very modernized, but it's also throwback. And it's like got this Sade thing. It's got this Erykah Badu thing. And then it's got this Diana Krall thing. So I was like, I have to ask you about Diana Krall. You know, now that we're on it, tell me about some of your influences as far as singers or writers or artists.
Well, both of those people that you just mentioned, I love Erykah. I love Diane Reeves. Diane Reeves is, she started, producing records a long time ago. She was doing a little bit of R&B. Then she got into jazz, but her voice... She is one of my biggest influences. She's a jazz singer, 3-4-time Grammy winner.
I know Diane Reeves. She's badass.
Amazing. Yeah. Rochelle Farrell, another very underappreciated, I think, singer. She's got a 90-octave range.
I don't know her, actually.
Oh, my God. She's amazing. Amazing. And, of course, my mom brought me up on Barbara Streisand, I used to, lip sync. I used to come home and lip sync all her songs after school. Ella, Sarah.
Billie Holiday?
I love Billie Holiday.
She's classic.
Lady Sings the Blues. Mm-hmm. I mean, my friends and I, we wore that record out. And then you get do these songs. You get to do, or Carmen McRae with It Never Entered My Mind. When she sang that song, The Blue Note, I thought, she must have wrote that song, and then you get to sing these songs later, and hopefully you're standing on the shoulders of these people.
Giants,
You're giving it, you're adding your flavor. So I would say, like I said, I used to listen to the radio when I was a kid with Janis Joplin, and I can't think of any female singers that influenced me more than Janis Joplin. I feel like this is how I feel, Nikki. I said, I'm going to start singing jazz because I can get old and sing jazz. And I'll never stop. I mean, you never stop. And then I said, I don't know.
Yeah, that's not all
I want to do. I got to bring the other music, other sounds in. So now after this record, after the CD is finished, I'm just going to do all originals.
Yeah, I like it. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
Well, there's something about, I love jazz. I fell in love with jazz. I studied classical music, and then I got so into jazz. And then I just realized, I'm like, you know what? It's not that I want to even sing jazz, because I love singing jazz, but what I really love I love all music. I love, this is your interview. This is what we're doing. Today is your interview.
All right.
No, but the idea is, it's like, I love Take Six. I love all the harmony.
Brian McKnight,
Take Six. All those guys, and all that soul music. It just moves me beyond measure. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to go in a different way. I want to go into a totally different way where I'm infusing African music with pop lyrics. And, and I started discovering Peter Gabriel and Paul Simon. I was like, Sting. Oh, those guys are doing all of those things. They're doing jazz, funk, blues, all in verse to bridge to chorus, whatever it is. And that really just kind of blew my mind. So I love that you're like, okay, I'm gonna. Oh, jazz is a part of my fabric. It's my spine, but it's time to get my limbs and my legs.
Yeah, I mean, jazz is to music like ballet is to dance. Yeah. It's very
technique.
But you have to make it accessible to people. Yeah. I mean, when I can't remember the name of the group that redid Cantaloupe. Was it Herbie Hancock?
Oh yeah, you're talking about.
Do-do-goon.
Yeah. Bitty bitty bop. Yeah, totally.
They took it. They made that accessible.
Yeah.
Not everybody had heard. And then when Lady Gaga went and did jazz with Tony Bennett, her pipes never changed. She didn't say, I'm singing jazz now, so I have to sing like this.
Right.
No, she just belted it all out and hit every note. And she brought more people into jazz,
mm-hmm.
you know, from what she was, you know, from what she, so she's performing and she said she's got 3 nights, I think, in Vegas now. And the only night that sold out right away was the jazz night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And didn't know that. You know, I always wonder if like jazz is still alive because I love it so much.
There's a lot of jazz.
And there is. I mean, they're like when you see like the Herbie Hancocks and you see like the New Cats.
Yeah.
You know, the Christian Scotts, like all these guys, they kill it.
I know, man.
They kill it.
So many.
So it makes me happy when you see, oh yeah, this is great, because when I see a DJ, sometimes it doesn't move me because I know it's already predetermined. Right. They've already got their set on their iPod and they're just pushing play most of the time.
Yeah.
But when you hear jazz, it's the antithesis of that. It's live art in the moment. It's happening now.
Yeah.
Well, Real quick, I want to hear this song.
Which one?
Pyramid.
Oh, okay.
Because I love that you're doing. Like, tell me about how you came up with this version.
Well, I always loved this song. And I love the lyrics. It's like you're in a boat and all your lovers are there with you. And, you know, it's like, was it a dream? Or, you know, did you die and this is your afterlife? It's a very spiritual. And then one night, I think it was the first time I ever heard Ryan Cross play. He doesn't remember. It was up at Angelino's, and Angelino off on Sunset Boulevard, mm-hmm. off 405. And he and his trio played a rendition of this. Nobody knew what it was. I was like, oh my God, like this is, he's playing Radiohead Pyramid in a jazz. He just took it out. It was just amazing. So when he got in the studio that day, I said, do you remember this song? He goes, I see. I said, this is the first song I ever heard you play. And this is why one of the reasons why we're doing it here in the studio. And he's like, I don't remember, you know, it was a long time ago. Because he plays all the time. But so that was why I chose this song, was because I loved it. I loved how, I wanted to see what they were going to do with it. And again, it was all on the spot. It's kind of long, so you might want to cut it.
All right, let's get it.
Okay.
Here it is. I used to see.
than a doubt. Ooh.
Yeah, that was nice.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
You like it?
Yeah.
You like it?
I love your interacting with it. Let me know, where can people find you and where are you performing next?
Performing next, I believe, at Industry in Culver City. I think next Friday night with Louis Van Taylor. We do funk. We're doing funk together.
Give us the date.
Let me look at the calendar. Let me see. So today's the 28th.
June 6th.
And, yeah, let's go. Move. Where's June? Where is June? Oh, there. Yeah, June. I think it's June 7th. Is that the first? I think it's the first Friday night of the month there. That'll be the last one that we do there. So come on down. It's free, and they got great food.
And where can people find you online?
Oh, I'm all over. I mean, spell if you just Google my name, Diane Kane. It's not Dylan. Dylan keeps coming up on SoundCloud. It's Diane, DyanKane. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And I also have DianeKaneMusic.com. So you can just go straight to my website. And
fantastic. Whenever I'm... Well, when you're finished with this next record, you got to come back.
I will. Thank you so much. I'd love to
play us some of the new record.
Nikki, you're the bomb.
You're the bomb.
You're
high
the
five.
Bomb. You're the bomb, baby.
Well, on behalf of myself, Ronan, big shout out to Ronan, who's helped us make this show run for years and years and years. Oh. What up, Ronan? I can't do this without you. Thank you. And big shout out to Eddie Pence. He's somewhere in the interwebs performing his magic. Yeah. We'll see you guys here next week.
Bye.
Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.